Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, saying hello for Krishna and Tim. So what we're doing here is this is part three of our first ever Basketball Index Power Rankings. If you haven't seen the first two episodes, I highly recommend listening to them before this. But this is talking about the top 10 teams in the league. We're going to start with Toronto at 10 and then work our way to number one. We recorded it all at once and ended up being like 3 hours and 40 minutes. So we tried chopping it up into thirds for you guys to make it a little bit more digestible. And this is the last third. So we'll just drop you into the middle of our conversation. We are in the top 10. Now we're talking about Toronto. This is the last team in this tier. Again, this was Indiana, Utah, Dallas, Golden State, and Toronto. So at number 10, you know, I don't have a ton to say about Toronto. Again, there's versions of, like, we've talked about where, like, oh, this team has a lot of good NBA players, yada, yada, yada. I feel like Toronto is sort of that, but the plus version of that. Siakam early in the season has played really well. His pull-up mid-range shooting has really progressed over the last 2 years. He's knocking on that door of do I think this guy's a top 20 player? Possibly. But yeah, that's kind of my wrap-up on them. I would like to see kind of how their experiment continues to gel of just having like a billion 6'8 guys. But Tim, what are you feeling?
Yeah, they've played well. They've had a difficult strength of schedule. Nothing crazy, but above average there. Siakam's missed like 10 games. Fred VanVleet has also missed a number of games. They've basically done the like NBA real life version of someone going into our lineup app in the lineup creator tool and picking like five of the same player and seeing how it would grade out with like their roster construction, which I think is a bunch of fun. Ananobi's been really, really solid, incredible 99th percentile, both matchup difficulty and defensive positional versatility. He's such a disruptor. A-minus pickpocket rating, A-plus passing lane defense rating, A-minus loose ball recovery rate percentage. So he's all over the place, deflecting balls, stealing balls, on ball, off ball. They're an interesting group. I know that they've wanted to see a little bit more from Gary Trent Jr. defensively. Christian Coloco pops in a lot of our metrics as being a really poor finisher at the rim, but he's getting really high quality shots, so that's an interesting one. I don't know. They're a fun group. From a coaching standpoint with this team, they're also really interesting defensively. I've talked to a couple coaches this year, just, you know, general NBA talk, players who stands out, teams that stand out, and Toronto's defense keeps coming up as a group that they're mixing in a bunch of different coverages. They're mixing in various types of zone. They really challenge you from a game playing perspective to be prepared. If you're not prepared, you're going to have a really rough time. If we look at the data, they are in zone more than 70% of teams. They're in press more than 93% of teams. Interestingly, though, their success in those situations has not been particularly good. It's been much worse than when they're just playing man-to-man. And, even compared to other zones and other presses, they've been really poor. So it's one of those that, like, it kind of depends on how prepared the team is you're facing. But and I'm sure they have more tricks to pull out of the bag. But between zones, various types of man and garbage defenses, or junk defenses, I should say, like a box and one, triangle and two, things that don't work if you use it consistently because they're just easy holes to exploit. But if you throw it out randomly for a play or two, you're going to catch teams off guard. They do more of that than just about anyone. And it's a lot of fun to watch defensively between the confusion they create and the size and length on their roster. And then the individual defensive playmaking of guys like OG Anunoby, Scotty Barnes. They're a really, really fun group. I think they're the most fun group for me to watch defensively of any team in the NBA.
So, you know, what's interesting. I totally agree with you about everything, but their defensive shot quality, this just stunned me. They're dead last in the entire league in defensive shot quality.
Mm-hmm.
So
that doesn't surprise me. I think they're going to give up. So that's bad. They give up high quality looks. I would imagine, I mean, I'll have to pull up their four factors, but I would imagine given the style of defense they play, they probably struggle with like effective field goal percentage, but they probably cause a lot of turnovers, or at least in theory, they should be causing a lot of turnovers with how they're hoping to play, with the confusion that's being created. So let's see, four factors.
Yep, they are first in turnover by a lot.
Yep, there you go. So that's what they're trying to get out of this. And in a season like this season where they've changed the defensive, or they've changed the rules with the take foul, turnovers are worth more than they ever have been before, live ball turnovers, because they're much like the link between getting a live ball turnover and getting a transition opportunity is stronger than it's ever been. So I think there's an additional boost to defenses that in general are causing more turnovers. And the Raptors do that via coverages. They do that via mixing things up. They do that via different zones they play. But just teams in general, I think you're more incentivized now, all things otherwise being equal, to run more aggressive coverages and ball screens, or like doubling and rotating behind it, because it's more likely to lead to turnovers than just like playing more conservative, like drop coverage kinds of defense. That'll be interesting to see what come playoff time, how this translates. But yeah, I'm not at all surprised, Krishna, that they're giving up high quality looks, but that's what they're willing to be bad at in exchange for being really, really good when it comes to forcing turnovers.
So I guess I'm kind of curious if that's something that'll translate well to the playoffs, because and the turnover percentage, you know, so they're actually leading by a ton. And they use that to kind of power their offense, because they're not a great half court offense. They're dead last in half court offense.
And they're in transition higher than just about any team in the league, 93rd percentile.
Right. So,
fifth. So they run a bunch, and it's the defense turning into offense for them.
Right. I'm just kind of curious how that's going to work in the playoffs, because, it just seems like giving up quality looks it just seems like in the playoffs. So that's definitely going to work in the regular season. I don't know about like giving up high quality looks on defense just seems like very risky, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It seems like this team is lacking a star. You know what they should do? They should trade for Kawhi Leonard. It worked for him last time.
He would be a great fit when healthy.
Siakam's been great, though. I was like, he started the season off really well, and then he got injured. And I think for me, that's been why it's kind of hard to evaluate Toronto, because I believe he's like missed more games than he's played. And he was actually really good in our one-on-one talent grade last year.
Yes, and I think I remember that.
Yeah, and I think he's been, I mean, I would imagine he's been pretty good this year. I think we haven't updated that for, actually, he missed some time, so we could, let's see, we can pull that up.
He last year was really high. This year it's fallen off a little bit, but yeah.
That might be because of the small sample, to be honest, because I think he did start off the season pretty well when he started playing, and he's played way less games than most other players, so.
Yeah, I would be a little hesitant, a little concerned about that dead last half court offense going into the playoffs. But maybe Siakam maybe even finds another gear. Who knows?
Yeah, potentially.
Anything else before we move on?
Yep.
I'm good.
All right, Sacramento. We have them at 9. That is crazy. Sacramento at 9. The Beam is awesome. Is the Beam just like the same technology? There's like the pyramid in Las Vegas, you know, that has the Sky Beam. It's I imagine like the same thing. Can you see it from space?
I don't have that answer. I think we have a whole lot of information on this podcast, a whole lot of numbers, a lot of scheme insight. I can't tell you what Earth looks like from space.
So you can't confirm pyramid nor deny the International Space Station being able to see that beam when it gets lit.
I'll have to work my contacts for that one.
You have some back channels, Tim. All right. Just use them. Okay. So this was one of our biggest disagreements. You guys had them, Tim at 7, Christian at 6. I had them at 15, which maybe was a little unkind. So basically this is how I see the team, right? Just did a State of the Kings podcast. If you're interested in more Kings talk, go back, find that in the feed. It was very good. But my problem with this team is they are so offensively slanted, where like they have like 7 good offensive players on their roster, which is a good thing. However, I think they have 1 plus defender in the rotation, and it's Davion Mitchell. And like it's I can't think of a lot of good teams that have 1 plus defender on their team. So I am not buying this team long term. I think they are a good offensive team. I think they will continue to be a good offensive team. But in terms of like long term success, I just can't do it. Tell me why I'm wrong, Tim.
So Taylor, I was just going to jump in. I have some stats that are going to kind of blow your mind here.
Yeah. Wreck him, Krishna. Finish him. Expose him.
The Kings are actually 5th in defensive shot quality allowed. So that means they're the 5th best teams in terms of forcing teams into bad shots. And they're 4th on offense too, which I think you could have guessed. But that's one of the best differentials, I think. And one of the reasons they are – so essentially they're likely to have some positive regression on defense where – opponents are shooting the second highest 3-point percentage against them, and that's a stat that traditionally is going to regress to the mean. You would expect that to kind of come down for them, and so their defense should actually improve in terms of like their process has been pretty good in terms of the defensive shot quality they've allowed. And they should get some better opponent 3-point percentage luck going forward. So,
yep. They're a strong, they're the strongest defensive rebounding team, which is helpful. That's one of the stronger points of what they had. But Taylor, I do think you make some valid points. Looking at the individual like personnel on this group, I am not like, oh yeah, a bunch of defenders. Like, I'm excited. I think Keegan Murray is a neat guy that I'm going to be tracking. Mitchell's fun defensively. Monk's fun offensively. Fox is having a nice year. Barnes, it looks like he's bounced back a bit. He was starting the season off looking pretty rough. Herder obviously brings that 3-point shooting. Sabonis brings the passing and the finishing and the post game. I like a lot of the individual pieces. Have they overperformed the most of anybody at this point? Like since Utah has fallen off, like this is very different from what I was expecting going into the year, but they've just been pretty darn good, and they've had the 4th toughest strength of schedule so far. So it's not like it's been, you know, walking through cupcakes.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, I do actually believe the Kings are like, out of all the surprise teams, I actually do believe in them most being sustainable just because of their offense is just really good. And like you pair their offense with like, so what do you expect their defense can get up to? Like they're currently 22nd. If they kind of get up to like, you know, they get some positive defensive regression in terms of opponent 3-point shooting and they're like 18th and 2nd on offense. Like that's a pretty good team in terms of like, you know, actually making the play in and potentially making the top 6. That might be my hot take there.
And they're in the bottom. They're at the bottom spot within this second tier of teams, a group of 4. So we don't. It's not that we have them like this is a legit title contender. They're they're good. They're really good. And I think Christian makes a great point. Like the offense where it is plus around average defense, big picture, that's going to get you top 10 performance. So that's it's high, but I do still think there's somewhat of like a hard ceiling between them and some of these other teams we're going to get to in a bit.
Yeah. And I think if you just look at like where we expected them to be before the start of the season, I do think like if we're looking through the first 20 games, we would say, you know what, this team is like a tier or two above like where we expected them to be to start the season. Like they're one of the teams, I think at the start of the pod, I mentioned like I had like three or four teams that I was moving up a few tiers just based on like where I think they're headed versus like where they were to start the season. And the Kings were one of them. And yeah, so I just kind of do buy into them more. Like sustaining this than some of the other teams we've discussed, like the Jazz or Pacers.
Yeah, I think the Kings are locked into a top 10 offense and hopefully a top 5 offense if things continue to go well. But I can't see their defense becoming league average. I have no idea how it would be possible for an entire season. That being said, you can still be a pretty good team that way. You can be dangerous and you can beat teams that you are better than, which are all important things to have. But like, so I'm looking at my rankings, right? I had them at 15. I'm looking at the teams I had ahead of them. I had the Warriors ahead of them. It's just hard because I'm like, I think the Warriors will probably right the ship. They might have the MVP on their team. They still have like 5 good players. Another team I had in front of them was the Clippers, where it's like, as if Kawhi, it's every day it gets harder to maybe imagine, but like if Kawhi comes back, like this team instantly is better than the Kings.
This team's probably going to drop, but so far they've been playing really well.
Yeah. Like, and like, I might've been a little harsh, right, on my rankings, but like for them, but at the same time, like if I was going to bet on a team dropping here, I would probably bet the Kings first. But not to take away what they've done.
Indiana?
Indiana is probably the team I would bet on second. but it's just hard when you have like, do they have any two-way players on their roster? like
pass.
That's crazy. Like that's insane. That's crazy. And also like I did the research project in the offseason where we talked about, you know, like what gets you to the finals. And I know we're not talking about the finals, but like it basically was a combination of like you need X amount of players over league average on offense and defense. And like if you have to have enough guys that are good at both to be a competitive team and you have 0 two-way player. Like this is the type of team I would make in 2K because I love players with like really strong singular strengths. But
I think you have to look at it differently. Like we're not, so like the research project you were looking at was like a title contending team, right? We're like, we're not even close to talking about that with the Kings. Like,
sure, yeah, sure.
This is so far they've played like, well. Other teams haven't played as well as they can and probably will. This is I would imagine this is going to be one of the teams that's dropping moving forward as Toronto or Golden State or Dallas or the Clippers maybe, or Atlanta, Bogdanovich is back now it looks like. So Atlanta maybe rising a bit. Like these guys will probably fall, but they played really well. So, you know, want to recognize them being fun.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think they're more sustainable than like Utah or Indiana. Or honestly, I might even be willing to put them ahead of Atlanta now. I don't think in Portland too. I think they're more sustainable than Portland. So. Just comparing them to some of the other surprise teams, I just think they're more likely than any of those other teams to kind of keep up this performance, but also probably falling behind Golden State and the Clippers and some of those teams.
I think these things are fair. I think it's fair to be like, I think I like, you know, for someone to say I like them more than Utah, I think that's totally fine. Another team where it's like, I don't know if Portland maybe has one two-way player in Jeremy Grant, where like, it's just hard to be a good team with like, with 0 two-way play. That was crazy when I was looking it up earlier. They have played good. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket, but I don't mind being a wet blanket. Let's go to Memphis at 8. I love them. I had them at 5. You guys, Tim had them at 11. Christian had them at 10, so a little bit lower. I think they have the best young core in the league. And they have pretty good depth. And now that Jaren Jackson Jr. is back and is playing like a man possessed, I don't want to play them. I think they're very scary. I think they're very dangerous. And I also think they're very fun. So, Tim, what are your thoughts on them?
I'd have them higher if this was a, like, what is their current form power ranking thing rather than, like, how's the season gone so far? Jaren Jackson Jr. has missed a bunch of time. Desmond Bane's missed some time. They haven't played all that great. They've played a fairly easy schedule. They're better than this. We're seeing them right now play better than this, like, currently. And moving forward, this is a team that, for me, I anticipate rising. But given the framing of the exercise, I have them 11th. It looks like Krishna has them 10th. You had them 5th. So you're buying what they can be. I am saying, hey, we're not there yet. But, you know, I think we probably will get there or close to there moving forward.
Yeah, I think we're kind of all in agreement where we all kind of buy into them moving forward. But like Tim, I kind of ranked them based on what they had shown so far. And like, you know, I probably should have been a little more fair. Like they haven't had Triple J or Desmond Bane for basically the entire season. One of them has been out. And I think Jaws missed some a few games. So it is a bit hard to evaluate their season so far, given all of the injuries. Triple J especially makes such a big difference for their defense. But yeah, I kind of where Tim was with my ranking.
All right, so we're all in agreement. We like Memphis. We just want to see a little bit more with them healthy. I think I just did the opposite. Like we were all thinking the same thing, but I gave them like bonus points for those players missing time. But let's move on to number 7. We got Denver there. Again, I was a lot higher on them than you are. Than you guys were, but my thing was they have the reigning two-time MVP, who's been another year for him playing great. Aaron Gordon has been playing probably the best basketball of his life. He took over a fourth quarter. I was watching the other night. It was really impressive. I think it was against OKC. Then I mean the main things from this season, right, is Jamal Murray and Porter Jr. coming back from injury. They have the entire season to get back into form. They haven't been bad, but they haven't been great. They've been, you know, kind of good. And I love the Bruce Brown pickup. They trade for KCP. I thought those were really good moves. I love this roster. I love the team. And also, like, their record's good. They're 14-7, so they're the number 2 seed in the West. They're one game under the Suns. So I think a team to be this good while they're getting some players up to speed from injury is just like all green lights. And I'm really excited about them. But Tim, why did you have them a little bit lower?
Yeah, I have them a little bit lower because I like their construction. I like a lot of the guys they have on the team. I like the direction. They've been hot recently. They have played the easiest schedule of any team in the NBA, which is worth noting. And Nikola Jokic has not looked quite the same this year. His three-point shooting is a good bit worse. His finishing is a good bit worse. His rebounding is worse on both ends. His interior defense still leaves some to be desired from an efficiency standpoint. Play types, looking at that, you know, still good, still very good. Not quite where it was in either the MVP years. So he's fallen back a little bit to earth. And if he's not playing at that MVP caliber form, this team doesn't quite look the same. So a combination of that and the strength of schedule had me, I still think they're a very good team. I had them 8th, but I'm not willing to put them top 5 given what they've shown us so far.
One thing, Krishna, before you go. So he's averaging 23 points a game, 9 assists and 10 rebounds, which are a little bit low for him because it's insane and he's like the best player in the world. But his true shooting this year is I don't know if people are going to get how insane this is. His true shooting this year is 123.
So like 70.6.
That efficiency, or true shooting plus, sorry. True shooting plus so 23 percentage points better than league average. Like that is like prime LeBron. I think Charles Barkley had some seasons there. I think Steph might be at 120 this season. Like to be over 20% scoring average scoring efficiency in a season is like you're either a center that only dunks the ball or you are operating at a level offensively that is just like unreal. He's shooting 69% on twos. I don't know what to say. I feel like
it's fine. It's good. It's not where it was before. It's good though.
Wait, what do you mean it's not where it is? But it's higher.
70.6% true shooting if you want the raw number too.
But so last year in his MVP, I understand the volume's down, right? But last year in his MVP
the usage
season,
is down.
He was 17% above league average, which is also insane. And then it's up 5% from there, where it's like, sure, the scoring can be down a little bit, but if the efficiency's that high, it's just unreal.
His usage is down. He's getting higher quality shots, so that impacts
because the team's less bad.
The efficiency,
because like last year's G League team,
right?
I don't know that I agree with that, but okay.
not an actual G League team, but like no, I agree the team was worse. I do think so. For me, I just had the Nuggets. I had the Nuggets 11th because, as Tim mentioned, they have the easiest schedule in the league. And then if you actually look at the schedule, it looks as easy as you think it is. Like they played like the Rockets like two or three times. They played like the Spurs a few times. Like now in their defense, and like I had a few Nuggets fans mention this to me when I tweeted out the graphic about the strength of schedule. They have played a ton of road games. So if you accounted for the road games, you know, maybe the strength of schedule might actually be a little bit tougher. But still, like, you know, facing the Spurs twice. Is this three times the Spurs? Twice the Pistons. But you know what's interesting? I do think, like, the Nuggets might be my number one team to come out of the West, if that makes sense. So I'm not low on their, like, playoff ceiling. I just don't think they've been that great so far this year.
Yeah, I think Jokic has another level. I hear you on the true shooting. Looking more granularly, he's taken steps back in some key areas. And I think just his shot profile has changed a bit and his quality has changed a bit. That leads to the efficiency. But he has another gear he can get into, and I think Murray certainly does as well. And if one or both of those happen, then I would say, you know, that team is playing like a top five team. So far, they're playing like a top 10 team to me, and I buy into what they can be and the potential. It just hasn't been there quite yet, even though they've been very good.
I think the interesting thing is like where does Jamal Murray end up? That to me is the biggest question with the Nuggets, because so much of their ceiling is going to depend on is basically Murray's got to be better than kind of where he is right now. So I think that's where a lot of the, like, I know Taylor, I know you were kind of buying into the Nuggets because of you just love the roster, but I think you would probably agree that like a lot of it's going to depend on where Murray ends up, right?
Yeah, like this is only going to mean something to like 48 people in the world, but like we need Jamal Murray to be like a +3 in offensive impact metrics to be probably at the level that he needs to be at in order for like this team to be like a really dangerous contender. Like they need that second punch. And obviously it's not there right now. They have a lot of months for it to get there, but I think that's kind of the magic number in my mind of like that secondary scoring option. Obviously Jamal Murray's never been a fantastic defender, but that's okay. If he's at a +3 and like, oh, LeBron, I think this team is maybe the most dangerous in the league. We'll have to check on if that happens, but we'll be keeping tabs on it. We ready to move on to Philly?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, Philadelphia at 6. We were actually pretty close together on this. I know they've had some injuries. They've missed a lot of time. But it's just one of those things for me. They just have so much talent that uh, I I'm not really worried about anything that happens other than a season-ending injury to someone. I'm not really worried. De'Anthony Melton was a guy we talked about a ton during the offseason. He's gone over there. He's been a really great defensive playmaker, has kind of taken over the role for Feibel and has performed really well. Tim, what are you seeing?
Yeah, they've been very injured with their key guys, both Harden and Embiid. They've played the fifth toughest strength of schedule, yet they've been pretty solid. I would say that Harden looks better than he did before from the games I've watched, at least. I haven't seen all the games for them. Embiid is certainly a force around the rim. He's been a very strong playmaker, which is good for him and them. His rim protection hasn't been particularly good this year in the data, so that's interesting. He's been very active. He's deterred shots around the rim, but when challenged, opponents have had good success against him. But I don't know. You called out some of the role players. Did you mention that you like Shake Milton's name yet? I don't know if that's another spot on the bingo card. But no, they're a good team. I like them. I think they'll perform better moving forward, but with some more health. But I think they're already they've got that group, and they're a fun team.
Yeah, I think
I just don't like coaching.
Oh, totally agree there. I've watched a decent amount of Philly, and I'm wondering if the data on Embiid's rim protection has if he started the season slow because. Like his defense at the start of the season was just not really that great. It's got a lot better recently. They've been in a very weird situation where, I mean, they played four games without Maxi, Harden, and Embiid, which is like 70 points or something. And they went 3-1 in that stretch. Really kind of surprising, I guess I should say, because like that might be your three best players or maybe Tobias is in there too. But like, I think the bench has been pretty good, especially like, so the bench has been really good, actually, I would say, like with a lot of the guys missing. I think the thing I'm just kind of curious about is like, are they a team where the sum of the parts are like less than the whole? Like they seem like a team. Like to me, they have like a really, as Taylor said, really talented roster. And I think you can kind of see that as like a lot of the injuries have cropped up. They've probably been just as injury prone as like a lot of other teams. And yet they have a pretty good net rating. They played a really strong schedule. So the talent is definitely there. But I'm just kind of curious, like to see how their starting lineup, I guess, looks and like full strength. I just kind of like to see a little more there where like we just haven't seen them fully healthy yet. But I do think like, so regarding Harden, I think he looked better to start the year. One of the interesting things, he's been taking a lot more mid-range this year. That kind of just came out of nowhere.
Well, I don't have anything. Well, we could talk about Shake Milton. So Shake Milton, I talked about in the offseason, really liked his name a lot and has been playing well of late, which strengthens my theory that players with good or interesting names are better than players with normal names. And I know Tim has backed me up on that many a times.
No, but Basketball Index does not endorse Taylor's statement.
Just a little ahead of the curve. Krishna, you you shuffled through those papers yet?
Oh, actually, I do have one stat I want to add here. So the Sixers are benefiting from opposing 3-point percentage luck. So essentially teams are shooting really low against them on three pointers. So you would expect that to regress. So they're like third or fourth on defense, and you might expect that to go a little bit lower, but of course they should get a lot better on offense with Harden coming back and Maxi coming back. Presumably that should help their offense a lot. So, yeah.
All right, let's move on to New Orleans. We have them at 5. Again, we were all pretty much in agreement there. They're a really good team. Again, they do have a lot of talent. I am excited to see Zion find another gear here. I think he will. I think he'll hopefully maybe you know, get into that back end of the MVP conversation. I really believe in him, like him a lot. CJ McCollum has started off the year kind of slow, so I'm interested to see kind of what this team can do offensively once he gets it going, starts hitting his shots. But yeah, I feel like all around this team has good depth. I feel like they're playing well. I like their coach, and it seems like they're taking the logical next step from last season, which it's one of those things when you go back, right, it all makes sense, but there's so many teams that show some life and then underperform in maybe the next season, and it's disappointing. And it's really good to see that the Pelicans have not done that. I've been doing some tape study on Ingram. We're going to have a scouting report on him out pretty soon, maybe the next week or two. He's a player that is so silky smooth to watch. So the tape study's been fun. But Tim, what are you seeing out of them?
They were a good team last year that was well coached, used this player as well. They had some spacing concerns. And then they added Zion to their team. It's hard to get worse adding Zion back to your team. And he's been a monster around the rim. Looking at our data on him, he ranks first in our finishing talent grade this year. And he's had some of the lowest shot quality around the rim of anyone. 99th percentile rim shot creation among the 150 starters this year. So he's really, really pressuring the rim. Trey Murphy's been a nice boost for them from a shooting standpoint. He's the second most in minutes on the team, and I think that's been really beneficial for them. Herb Jones does what he does defensively. Jose Alvarado continues to be a really solid player, and I think both of those guys graded out really, really well as rookies, and there were questions around like, all right, well, what does Alvarado look like if we up the minutes for him? And it still looked solid. You know, Nance adds some value for them. Graham has added some shooting and a little bit of passing. They've got a lot of guys I like. This is a really solid team, and they've been fairly healthy and have performed really well. I'm impressed. I like them. I think this was preseason. This was the team that I figured was going to be a nice breakout group. When you add Zion to your team, you're going to be better. And that's why I ranked them fifth.
Kind of agree with you there, everything you said. What do you guys think of Zion's defense? I'm kind of curious because I was watching the game the other day, and I think he had like two steals or three blocks against the Raptors, and he just looked amazing in that game. Just utterly destroyed the Raptors, like both on offense and defense. Even like he was pretty good. But that was interestingly, that was without Ingram and CJ. So. They haven't had a lot of games with all three of them together, so I am kind of a bit curious how they fit.
Yeah, he's been, he's defended well around the rim when he has been challenged there. He's got an A- pickpocket rating grade, a B passing lane defense grade, so there's some degree of defensive playmaking with Zion. From a versatility standpoint, he's been pretty strong. His matchup difficulty is an F, fifth percentile, so they're not putting him on hard matchups. That I think is probably the right decision. I still don't think big picture he is a plus defender. But, you know, he's competing on the boards. He's got a good success rate there. He'll be one that I'm interested to see how he grades out in our advanced defensive metrics that we'll have up soon at the site.
Yeah, he's a guy that, like, there is some playmaking. There's some wow to his defense, which I think helps psychologically for not only fans, but also teams where like there's one thing to be like, maybe you're not the most impactful defender, but if you can make a wow play every once in a while, it's kind of like there's a LeBron quote and 2 points is not 2 points. And he was talking about like an electrifying dunk. And I think there is a little bit of value on the defensive side for that. Alvarado is a guy that I blanked on. He's one of my favorite guys to watch in the league. I love those small guys with like the elite kind of quickness, or like if Darren Sproles played basketball. And then Valanciunas, wanted to touch on him. I didn't realize how good of an offensive rebounder he was in the playoffs last year. It really popped. And then watching him some this year, I think he's probably top three in the league. I think Steven Adams probably has the crown, but Valanciunas, like there is a noticeable offensive impact from his offensive rebounding. And anytime you can have a skill on offense that isn't you holding the ball, I think that's really valuable and clicks in well with high-end teams. But anybody got anything else before we move on to our next team?
Yeah, I got a bit of a hot take here. Is it crazy? I kind of think the Pelicans could come out of the West. That's my hot take.
That's scorching. That's a scorching hot take.
Yeah. I think, just because they look pretty good against the Suns last year, like given the expectations, and now you're adding Zion to that. So once they get healthy, I guess we're going to get a better idea. Like once they get all three of them playing together. But yeah, my scorching take here is the Pelicans could come out of the West.
I'd agree that they're a competitor. I wouldn't say that they shouldn't be the favorite, but
no, I don't think they're the favorite.
Yeah, no, but it's certainly possible for them. I think the Suns, Nuggets, and Pelicans can each come out of the West from my perspective.
Oh, have you canceled out the Warriors there?
Oh, I was looking at the standings. I was like, yeah, those top three, and then Memphis. I don't think so. Maybe not this year. Maybe next year. I don't think the Warriors. Yeah, no, I'm going to say the Warriors are very dangerous, but I think it's going to be tough for them to string together each of the series wins with how their bench is looking. But
yeah, I'm with you there.
I'm very skeptical to count them out at this point, given how last year played out. With them rising throughout the year and putting it together. But if Poole continues playing like this and the bench continues looking like this, then they shouldn't make it out of the West.
I think for the teams I had, considering to come out of the West, it was like in that top tier, which we have here, we had the Pelicans, the Suns, the Nuggets, and Memphis. We had all of them in either our first or second tier. And kind of agree with you, Tim, on the Warriors. So I think we can kind of move on to another team in that tier, the Suns. Go ahead, Tim.
Suns are good. I like the Suns. I have them running second, which is higher than each of you. They've been really, really solid for having Chris Paul miss 11 games. They've been really solid for having Cam Johnson miss 13 games. Like they've been, like just looking at like their net rating, they've been the second best team. They've played a harder strength of schedule than Boston, and they've been missing two very key rotation pieces. They've been hot recently. I schematically still think their offense is probably the best. It's a machine. They're able to like make it work regardless of who's in or out, it seems like. And I like a lot of the pieces on this team. The playoffs are a different discussion, but this is a machine of a group that is just going to keep winning games. And I think we'll be the one seed in the West. So they're playing like the one seed, and they're still missing dudes. So I it's hard to not have them where I have them from my perspective.
I wanted the Lakers to get Damian Lee in free agency, and I thought he'd be a really nice low cost option, and he's playing really well in Phoenix. And I'm kind of upset about it. But I feel like Phoenix didn't learn anything, because last year they had the video of them working out in the tunnel, and it was like, are you guys for real? And then Damian Lee posted a video working out in the tunnel after the game again, and it's like, did you guys learn nothing from last year?
The lesson learned would have been don't have fun on camera.
Don't work out in the tunnel on camera after games. That is the lesson.
I mean, Damian Lee's got that Steph Curry blood in him, right?
Well, no, isn't he just, are they step? They're step?
No, he's brother-in-law. So he doesn't have his blood in him. He is.
Unless he got maybe an injury and then a blood transfusion from Steph, which would be a really nice thing for a teammate to do.
No, but it is like, I do like Lee's been pretty good for them. And it's just kind of funny because the Warriors could use bench players and they had him on their bench last year. So
I've been talking about Damian Lee for like 2 years where it's like, he's not the greatest player in the world, but as a bench player, I think he's really solid.
Yeah, I think he's a solid regular season bench player. I don't know, I don't know about in the playoffs where he's a bit streaky, I think, with his 3-point shooting. But I think like the Suns just have a lot of really solid players. I think I had them a little lower than Tim, honestly, just because it might have honestly just been because they're in the West. And I feel like the Eastern Conference is just a much stronger conference right now. I probably could have had them second. I think, honestly, I don't know why I have Milwaukee and Cleveland ahead of them because like this might be a vibes thing where I don't trust the Suns vibes. How about that, Taylor? You're with me there, right?
No, I'm with you. One other thing that would be interesting is what do they get for Jay Crowder? Because I assume he's going to be traded, because if he isn't, that'd be weird. Because you're going to lose him in free agency, so you'll just kind of take whatever you can get. But whatever that piece could be really helpful. And depending on how that fits in, could maybe help push them over the edge of a team in the playoffs. But yeah, Phoenix is very good, and they're rolling, and they've had injuries, and I think that shows good depth. And I think we're ready to move on to Cleveland. So Cleveland, we had a 3. It seems like everything has gone as well as possible, really, since trading for Mitchell. Him and Garland have played well. The bigs have played well. It just seems like they are humming as a team. I do wonder if maybe the development of Mobley is maybe hurt a little bit offensively because he is on such a good team. But like, that's a problem you want to have, where it's like, sure, would you love to have him taking 17 shots a game to develop into the next great star? Yeah, but like, I think I'd rather have a team that's like knocking on the door of being one of the best teams in the league. So I think I'm nitpicking there. But yeah, I really like Cleveland. And Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. They've played well. They've been fairly healthy. They've had a tough strength of schedule. They've been solid. I think the Mitchell addition has been really good. He's added a nice gear to the offense. They're, I think, still figuring out rotationally exactly what they want to do, but they've been playing LeVert a lot. He's been really solid for them as a shot creator on the offensive end, as a point of attack defender on the defensive end. And they've got some exciting, like, Garland's really solid offensively. Mobley and Allen bring a lot defensively. Okoro brings some defense. Like, Kevin Love's around, hasn't played it as much, but they have a lot of good players, and at a team level, they've played very well. So they might maybe fall a little bit for me. I think New Orleans might be able to jump them at some point here, but to this point, I had them ranked 4th for me.
I actually think Cleveland's played so well for me that they've kind of raised my expectations for them. I think before the season, like, we might have been thinking, okay, just kind of getting that top 6. But I think now, like, they've played really well, where we can be like, okay, is this the 3rd best team in the East going forward? Where that probably wasn't our expectation before the start of the season. And I think, like, so interesting, this is an insane stat. Unfortunately, we don't have our pull-up shooting data up yet. Actually, that should be up in the next few days. But Mitchell is shooting 48.6% on pull-up threes. So, whenever we do have the pull-up shooting data up, I'm sure that'll be at the very top. But yeah, I mean, 48.6%, given, you know, his likely shot quality on pull-ups is just insane. On 105 attempts, too.
I'm looking at the team roster right now. So these are the guys shooting above 40% from 3. Mitchell, Garland, Kevin Love, Dean Wade, and then Caris LeVert is missing it by 1 percentage point. He's shooting 39%. That's pretty absurd. Also, if you're playing at home, Dean Wade, I brought him up. He's the best 3-and-D player that nobody knows.
Bingo card.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo card.
That's my 2 cents for the Cavs. We ready to finish this off with the top 2 teams?
Let's do it.
Isn't Dean Wade on your bingo card, Tim?
Oh, he's got to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Bobby Portis, who I'm about to talk about. So that's everything. The whole, what's bingo is right where you fill up the entire card, right? Not one line across. Let's talk about Milwaukee. They're just kind of humming for me. They have good star players. They have pretty good role players. Interested to see what Joe Ingles brings when he comes back from injury midseason. But yeah, they're just sort of rolling for me. Tim?
Chris Middleton is going to make his season debut, it looks like, today against the Lakers. And they've done this without him so far. They haven't played the toughest schedule. They've missed him. Ingles hasn't played. But they've been really solid. Lopez has been looking like a defensive player of the year candidate. Giannis is a monster. Drew Holiday's been playing really well. Allen adds an offensive boost. Javon Carter's been a really nice 3-and-D piece for them. Portis, always good value for his deal. So they've got a number of really solid guys. This is an older roster. There are a couple guys on here that I still think they want to see pop. Maybe they want to make some in-season additions, although I do certainly think that Middleton and Ingles are good midseason additions in a way for them as well. So they're playing well, got to reward them for it. And it'll be interesting to see how they look, how dominant they look with Middleton back and how long it takes for him to get back up to speed.
So just some stats here on the Bucks. They are first in defense to shot quality by a pretty large amount here. They are 12th in offensive shot quality generated. So they have a very good process in terms of generating good quality looks and forcing the opposing team into tougher looks. And also their quality of threes, they have a pretty good shot quality on threes. Let me pull that up. Yeah, so they're sixth in shot quality on threes, which again means they're, and I think I was looking this up the other day, they were like first in wide open threes generated. So they're just, they're running really good offense, despite the fact that they're, this to me is like the coaching. I think they have, you know, like Bud's a good offensive coach, but they just don't have a lot of offensive talent at the moment. They don't have Middleton back, so obviously that's going to help a lot. But I think they're like 20th in offensive rating, correct? Right? Oh, okay, so they're 16th in offensive rating, which isn't great, but you know they don't have Middleton, so you would figure that would get better. I think they're probably right there with Boston. Although I did, so this is where Taylor, Tim and I differed. I think I put Boston in a tier above them, and you guys just had them in the same tier, right?
I think it's one of those things. It's hard to, I'm never a big, like one team is vastly better than everybody else, just sort of in general. Yeah, Milwaukee's playing really good. Boston playing really good. It's still pretty early in the season, but let's talk about Boston. We all had them at number one. They're humming. Their offense seems unreal. It looks like Jason Tatum's taking another step. They have the depth. They have the shooting. It just kind of seems like, I'm not sure what this team's weakness is. Brogdon seems like he's fitting in well. Tim, what have you seen?
They're really good. Brogdon's, I mean, he was good last year. He was good the year before that. He was good the year before that. Like, when he's healthy, he plays well. And so far, he's been fairly healthy. So he's been a nice boost for them. Have you seen the Luke Kornet? I'm 25 feet away from you, but I'm going to jump as if I'm going to contest the shot. Love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, they don't have Robert Williams back, but once he's back, this looks like a surefire title contender. I don't know if they're the favorite at this point, but I think, given what we've seen so far, they should be. They look better offensively. I understand that Udoka, he graded out well from a defensive optimization standpoint. I hated their offense last year schematically, and it was like a whole lot of nothing. This year, they look a good bit better. I want to dig into it some more and analyze a little bit deeper, but it certainly, from the times I've seen it, looked much more coherent and purposeful, and I think that's helped elevate the talent that is there and is already very solid. So they've played the best so far. They're looking hot right now. They've been fairly healthy. The strength of schedule hasn't been difficult. It's going to pick up a bit, but I still think even with that, we're going to see them, continue to be strong. I'm not sure what their upcoming immediate schedule looks like. Let's see. But I'm going to see them play some more of these big dog teams and knock them down. Yeah, they just beat Miami. They have Miami, Brooklyn, Toronto, Phoenix, Golden
State. Miami didn't have
Clippers.
Jimmy in that game.
Okay. So they play Phoenix on national television December 7th. That'll be a fun one. Golden State on national television December 10th. So they've got some interesting games ahead. A little bit of a lull following that. But then they get Milwaukee on Christmas, which is going to be a fantastic matchup. So that's going to be... That'll be a really fun, look at. By then, I would expect Middleton to be, full form. So if these teams are healthy, that's going to be such a brawl of a matchup, and I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, Boston's got to be the number one team right now. We'll adjust as we need to. As a Laker fan, I hate it, but they're playing well.
Yeah. So just some shot quality numbers on Boston here. They have the third highest offensive shot quality, so generating the third best looks on offense, and the fourth best defensive shot quality, so forcing opponents into the fourth hardest shots on defense. The threes are insane. They're like, do you guys think they're going to keep up the offense? They're on pace right now to like shatter the record for offensive rating. To me, I'm kind of looking at like the shot quality and their threes is kind of middling. So it feels like there could be some regression with their 3-point shooting, especially because like a lot of the guys who are shooting really well are like Grant Williams, Derek White. Derek White's at like 44% or something like that. So it does feel like there could be a little regression in terms of their shooting. But do you guys think their offense is going to keep this up? Or
I think it's going to be very, very good. But they have five guys shooting over 44% from three, where it's like, that probably won't continue. But they'll probably have a couple guys over 40% from three, which will be very good at the end of the year. I just think it's one of those things where they're just steamrolling teams so hard. It's just kind of like, I think it all starts to kind of add up, and it's just like an avalanche at a certain point. So
you want
to
know something interesting? They've lost. So they played like 20 games, right? And they've lost to two teams. So they have four losses, but they've lost to the same team twice. They've lost to the Cavs twice, and those were two overtime games. And this is the wild one. I don't know what it is. They've lost to the Bulls twice. Those are like the two most random, like that's the most random loss you would expect for a team that's probably been by far the best team in the league.
That is weird.
Yeah. I do think that in terms of the schedule, it's like they can't play that. So I've said this on Twitter, like they can't play themselves. And I think if you look at their if you look at their player ratings, they're actually probably going to end up as like the best team in the league up there with Milwaukee. So both Milwaukee and Boston, they haven't played each other, and they haven't, and obviously they can't play themselves. So their strength of schedule is just kind of not going to be as good as especially until they play each other as some of the other teams, but they have faced Philly fully healthy. I think they faced the Heat fully healthy. So they have been tested a little bit. They faced the Cavs twice. And they played the Pelicans, although the Zion didn't play in that. So they faced an easy schedule, but I don't think I think part of that is just they haven't faced the Bucks and they can't face themselves.
I just took a look at the Chicago games. In both of those games, Chicago shot like 49% on threes. So maybe got a little bit hot in those games and took them down with that, with some luck involved there. But you're right to point that out, Krishna. That's a weird team to have lost twice to after beating like pretty much everybody else.
I think they were both in the United Center too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So
they might also have like seven top 75 players, depending on how Malcolm Brogdon's season goes. Which is just like absurd.
Oh yeah, they probably do.
Just look at their roster.
Well, and like Derek White shooting. I mean, he has like an A-, I think, 3-point shot making grade right now after having an F multiple seasons in a row. So that's like a bananas improvement for him. And then Brogdon's been one of those guys for a while that like per 100 possessions, yeah, he's up there, but overall season impact not because of the injuries. So if he goes down at some point, that changes the look of this team. When exactly Robert Williams comes back and how he looks, if and when he does, that will change the impact of, you know, that changed the way you'd look at this team as well. If White's 3-point shooting regresses a bit, that changes the way, you know, he fits together with this group and the way they look. So there are a lot of things I think going okay for them so far that might, you know, it's a long road. They're going to run into some bumps. But, you know, so far, so good for him.
All right. That's going to wrap up. Is this the first ever basketball index NBA power rankings?
I think so.
And this is might be the longest podcast we ever do.
I'm like fatigued.
I need a nap.
All right. That's going to do it for our first ever basketball index power rankings. If you made it through to the end, all three episodes, I commend you. That was it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of information Great conversation. This is actually the first time I think me, Krishna, and Tim have sat down and like really talked about the entire league in detail. So I had a lot of fun. For Tim and Krishna, my name is Taylor, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.